G'day, guys, and welcome to another episode of the Scouting Australia podcast, powered by Australian Property Scout. I'd like to welcome back my big mate, Mr. Jimmy Ibrahim. How are you, buddy?
I'm very good, buddy. It's good to see you. Look at you. Your head has taken up my whole screen.
I'll take some steps back, mate. I'll take that. Your body has. It's like you must have eaten Christmas, eaten Santa mate, himself.
How good was Christmas? How was your Christmas?
It was good. It was good, thanks, man. It was good. Had a bit of a rest and a recharge, mate. It was good. Smacked some good tucker. So yeah, mate. How about you?
Yeah, very good. With the fam down here at the coast, it was awesome, mate. Beautiful. The sunshine finally in Melbourne. We had a bit of sunshine, so happy days,
mate. Send me some pics. I don't believe you. The sun doesn't come out.
That is true. But a lot of people who are listening to us, you know, welcome back. But for those of you that are watching, you'll notice that Sammy and I aren't in the same studio where we're filming because we're having a bit of a breather. I mean, it's important to recharge, don't you think, before your break?
It definitely is, mate. Look, man, recharge is a very important, man. Like, I'm a big believer in it. When you're on, man, you're on 100%. And when you break, in my mind, man, you should be trying to break 100% as well to properly recharge the mind. If you still got things going on, man, I guess we're still got a little bit going on, still jumping on this. But yeah, man, it's always good to try and switch off properly. And mate, in a nutshell, I just couldn't get you up to the goldie.
But also, one thing I'm really curious to pick your brain at, because obviously this podcast is going to be going out on Gen 2. So we're recording this prior to New Year's Eve. So first of all, before we talk about the big thing, what are you got much planned for New Year's? What's the go?
Mate, I'm not sure. I'm not actually too sure, to be honest. Actually, I've got a couple of mates coming up. That'll be good. Having a bit of a break, man, it should be good. A bit of rest, as I said before, rest and recharge, man. What about you?
Yeah, pretty much the same. I'll be pretty chill, mate. My thing is all about New Year's Day. Get up early.
So you're going to bed at 8 o'clock on.
Mate, it's how you start the new year. That is the hot tip. How you start the new year dictates the tone. So yours will probably be the worm at about 3 a.m.
It probably will be. That's how I'm starting the new year, mate. Probably about 4:15 a.m. That's about when the sun comes up here. I'll be worming along Broady Beach and just sending it full send, mate. We're getting some air warm.
Now, in saying that, right, because obviously this is New Year's, you hear a lot of people talk about New Year's resolutions, you're talking about goals and all that sort of stuff. Rumors going around the office that Sammy boy is completely against the New Year's resolution. Is that hot off the press? If you're driving, do not veer off the road. Because look out, you better hold your hats here, folks.
Mate, I've got to say, I'm not a fan of New Year's resolutions. I actually arc up a little bit when I hear about the old New Year's resolutions. It is true. Man, I'm not a believer in it, and there's a simple reason for it. Mate, I don't believe you should be waiting until New Year's or you know, waiting until that time of year to make changes. The thing I love about this and this podcast as well is obviously, you know, people at some point might listen to this in quarter of the way through the year, halfway through the year, or right at the end of the year, November, December even, end of next year, they might be listening to this. And man, like, I'm really hoping that this podcast can really help people make some changes and actually do their goal settings and, you know, resolutions, man, like, New Year's resolutions, in my opinion, they're a little bit for the weak. That's a dead honest statement on it, man. No, it's one of those things, mate. You shouldn't be waiting for like some great moment to come through, especially when you're going to be on holidays trying to recharge and you're probably sinking a few drinks and eating yourself away. Mate, you shouldn't be, in my opinion, making moves like that at that point in time. That should be a continual flow during the year, man. You should be constantly reassessing, you know, reflecting on yourself, what's going on, setting things for the future, not waiting until one time of year. Right. I actually remember hearing about it a few years ago, man. Like, it was some dude, I can't even remember exactly who it was. I remember hearing about it and just the message always stuck in my mind. It was in November, I'm pretty sure, and this exact conversation came up, and that was a light bulb moment for me, man. I'd never really thought about it all that much, and then he said something to someone else when he was kind of assessing him. I was like, why are you waiting to the new year to do this thing? It's November. You've still got 2 months of the year left. Why are you waiting until the new year? And, man, I remember it was a light bulb moment for me, and you see it a lot these days, and you hear about it all the time, like people going, and man, sometimes it creeps into your mind, even ourselves. I know it creeps into my mind as well. I get super motivated to do something. I'm like, oh, I'm going to do it tomorrow. Or I'm going to start this on Monday because I can start fresh and go out of it. And it might be, say, Thursday, right? man, I hate that. That's a, in my mind, it's a weakness in your mind to be waiting for that time. If you're motivated to do it, man, go out and do it straight away. Because that momentum and that flow will come from going out and doing it straight away, not waiting until next week, because you're gonna lose the momentum, you're gonna lose the drive. You know, you might have listened to a mad potty or something that psyched you up to do it. If you put it off and delay and wait for the new year's, mate, it never works
that's a really good point, actually. I remember the first time you said that, and I was like, man, that is so true. But it's so interesting that your psyche at the end of the year, when people are talking about stuff, what's your New Year's resolutions? It's just, what do you think that is? Do you think it's just people delaying taking action on something or putting it to tomorrow type problem?
It's in my opinion, man, it's just like a beginner's mindset. Like it's not a winner's mindset. A winner is doing it all the time. They're constantly assessing themselves. If anything, man, New Year's isn't a New Year's resolution to set things for the new year. New Year's should be to look back on the year that was, more of a reflection. I did this well, right. I did that poorly. You know, I could change these different things, or that was great, I'm going to do that again next year. For me, it's more of like a time of reflection. What was good? What wasn't good? But even then, man, you should be doing it all the time anyway. Mm. You know, so I think it's a good time. Like it's a week, you know, you got your Chrissy to New Year's period. It's a time that almost everyone has off. It's a great time to kind of reflect and celebrate the wins. Mm. But yeah, man, that's just my kind of take on it, I guess.
Well, let me ask you, right? Because you being a high performer, you know, in your property, maybe not in football and soccer, but from a
oh mate, we're there so early.
Oh, had to get one in before the end of the year. But do you think at the end of the year, though, when you're looking at 2023, there is an argument to say just to reset, and if you haven't achieved what you wanted this year, to at least make the first plan of attack for next year? So if someone, I'm just thinking of our listeners out there, they're thinking, you know what, I didn't actually achieve what I wanted. I know that you shouldn't have New Year's resolutions and so forth. And I think your message, correct me if I'm wrong, is don't make it a one-time thing. Don't make it just this is the start and that's it. Don't look at them. Yeah. You should be doing it all the time, but you need to start at least with something.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. But man, I think the cool thing is like if people listen to this, you know, you might be listening to this for the first time and it's in 6 months' time from now. Like it applies all the time. You just should be doing it all the time, constantly reassessing. Am I working properly towards my goals? Do I need to change something? You know, constantly looking forward and then looking back and kind of assessing those two things to be able to keep making the proper plan out and plan forward. I found it was honestly, man, it changed so much in my life when I changed my thinking to that, not of New Year's resolutions. Oh, I'm thinking of all these things I'm going to do next year. And fuck that. Why next year? Do it now. Change it now. Mm. You know, put the things in motion that are going to move the needle now.
Let me ask you.
You think about Australian, like Scouting Australia. Man, we could have left that to start in January. And in my mind at first, that's what I kind of first thought. Dude, we launched in November. Literally exactly that scenario. I thought, oh, why don't we just launch it in the new year, bang out 50 in a year, something like that. Man, that exact thing crept into my mind as well. So it's natural. But man, do it when you're ready. Just do it. Even if you're not ready, just do it, man. Make a start.
And would you say, I think what a lot of people are waiting for, and I found this in my own time, you're trying to wait for that perfect moment and maybe the fresh new year, you feel it's a new clean start, but you need to start the momentum and just start with something.
Yes.
Just get started.
Yeah, of course. Right? Just get started, man.
Yeah.
Just get started. Doesn't need to be perfect. Just get started, make a game plan. And
go. Now, let me ask you then, what about when you're looking at next year, do you even compartmentalize and think, you know what, the first quarter I want to achieve this? Or are you, because we're going to talk about your goals, because I'm really curious about that and how you set them and so forth. But are you looking at the year in advance, or are you breaking it down?
I don't really look at years in terms of how I do things. I don't even really kind of look all that much at months either. I kind of do a little bit, I guess, from the business perspective of what I do, but that's so you can kind of keep measuring as you're doing things. When it comes to, if we're talking specifically around property, around this, you know, in this topic, let's say we're talking about property. Yeah, I don't really set my goals in terms of what I want to achieve this year or this quarter or this month when it comes to property. When it comes to property, man, I look at the long term of like, what is it that I really want to achieve? And not even really what I want to achieve out of property. It's like, what do I want to achieve in life? Like, what are my goals? What are my realistic goals? Okay, sweet. It's this. What do I need to achieve in property to achieve that? to achieve that lifestyle, to achieve that figure. You know, let's call it, a lot of people, you know, 100, 200,000. Some people shoot for $500, $1 million a year passive income. Okay, what does that look like? And if you scale it back to say something more realistic, like your 100, 200,000, you know, what does that look like in terms of a portfolio? Realistically, how long will it take me to achieve it? And then let's break it down into some more bite-sized pieces from there. And if you're starting out and you're fresh, your goal setting and your what you might be working through and really going for is like, okay, well, you know, I need to save 40 grand or 50, or I might have 20 grand in the bank. I need to save another 20 or 30 to buy the style of asset that I really want to buy. At the moment, I'm only saving, you know, $200 a week, which is only 10 grand a year. It's going to take you a long time. It's going to take you another 2 years to save you, get your 40 in total. So, okay. I need, so what I need to do if I'm going to fast track that, I need to go get another job, potentially a second job, $300-$400 a week. And then I can fast track that back to 6 months instead of 2 years. And I've shortened it that much. And then I can, you know, can start working through it like that as well. So that's the way I'd kind of break it down. And then people who are in really good positions as it is from now, you know, potentially they've already got a couple of properties in the portfolio. They might have a few hundred grand or half a mil or something in equity sitting in their own home. That's a very different conversation. Because it's like, then it's like, well, what do I want to achieve? How quickly do I want to achieve it? Because they have that equity, as long as they have the serviceability, that's a very different conversation, because it's kind of, it's up to them how hard they want to push it and work through it as well.
All right. So you have a very clear picture as to your big goal, what you want to achieve with your property. And then you're looking at, all right, what do I need to do in order to achieve that? And then you just go after it straight away and just try and get into it.
You break it down. I break it down to what I need.
Good. So like, I'm curious as to your process and breaking that down, because people out there, you know, especially if they're new to this, and especially new to property and they're starting out or whatever, how do you do it? Like, what's your process?
So I break down like, how many cash flow deals do I need? Because like, cash flow is the big one, right? Like, almost everyone chases a passive income target. So it's like, okay, how many cash flow deals do I need at what price point with what yield to achieve that end goal? You know what I mean? So like, once you've worked that out, then you can work that back. Okay, well, let's say I need seven of those cash flow deals to achieve my net passive income of, say, you know, 220, 250, something like that. I need seven of those deals at a very low debt level, or maybe paid out, right? That may be the way you want to run it, maybe debt free. So what do I need to partner that up with to get them, firstly, to get to that point, but then also to get them debt eliminated? Because you would have noticed I said there's seven deals at a very low debt level.
Yeah.
It takes a very long time to pay that down. The quickest way to pay it down, if it takes a very long time, if you are actually just paying it down with cash flow and with income and all the rest of it. But if you're doing advanced strategies, maybe small devs or something, or you're just building in a really solid bread and butter portfolio as well, that bread and butter portfolio and those growth assets, as they go through their cycles and you're selling them off, you might be pairing up the seven high growth deals with the seven high cash flow deals. When you go through nice cycles, sell them down, reduce the debt, bang, there's your portfolio. But again, it comes into serviceability. How quickly can you do it? Do you have to do it in potentially two or three phases to actually build out that bulk portfolio? What can I do now? How hard do I want to go now? So it's all about breaking it down like that. And man, I'm constantly assessing my own. I literally do this. I would do, you know, probably, you know, 8-10 of these a week with clients, and constantly refining existing strategies, but then also new ones. Because essentially that's what it comes down to, man. Goal setting is strategies. Right, it's a strategy of how you, well, goal setting is the end picture, but then when you break it down, you're breaking it down into a strategy. That's what you should be breaking it down into, a bite-sized strategies and pieces in the puzzle to get you where you're trying to go.
Got it. So how often should people be looking at this kind of stuff? Because you've spoken about the strategy, right? You've mapped it out. But say for our listeners out there, how often should you be revisiting this? Because you might set it up and you might have a chat with someone like yourself, or get really clear. Yeah, we're talking like weekly, monthly, daily.
It depends on what you're doing. It depends like how hard you're pushing and going. If you've got, you know, like the first scenario I gave of some young, potentially a young fella trying to save up his first deposit, you might just review it once a month. How's the savings going? Do I want to change it? Do I need to do this? Do I need to get a third job? Like, do I really want to, you know, whatever. He might be doing it once a month. He or she might be doing it once a month. And they also might be pairing that up with area research as well and whatnot too. So they could be doing theirs once a month. People who are going through accumulation and acquisitions, they might be doing it once a month, but then they also might be doing it after each deal and each purchase. And then when they get through to settlement, they go, okay, bang, working out the next pieces in the puzzle. And that's what we do a lot of as well, working out those next pieces to be able to keep them moving forward and keep building on that as well.
Got it. I love it how your mind works, Sammy, in terms of, you know, obviously you're breaking things down. You've got the big picture in mind and you're, because you do this for a living, you're revisiting this on a daily basis. And I think for our listeners out there, what they're more curious, because you've been doing this for how long? 13 years?
Mm.
You've been doing it a long time.
It feels like I'm almost as old as you saying that. I don't think that's possible.
Maybe not as wise. But what about because you're an established investor now, you've got a sizable portfolio, but what were you like when you were setting goals and starting, when you were 19, like when you first started?
I didn't set goals. That's why I was so slow. So like my accumulation of what I was doing, I was working things as I was going and I was doing it, but like my goals were very loose. My goals were just work my ass off. How many jobs do I need to make a deposit? And just, I literally would work 2-3 jobs at a time sort of thing all the time to try and save as much as I could. But then I'd also research areas and do it. But it wasn't really goal setting. I mean, it wasn't until I was kind of in my mid-20s when I actually started doing some work on this. And then I started figuring out and knowing what I needed to buy next in the portfolio. And I remember someone said to me back then, I can't remember who it was, or I read somewhere or something like that. Someone had said something like, if you don't set goals, it will take you like twice as long to achieve something as someone that does set goals. Because if you set the goals and then you're constantly visualizing it and everything as well, you start making that plan and you start working with that strategy, that's when everything changed. That's when it started exploding. So, you know, obviously there was a couple of years between each purchase of my first few. And then once I kind of hit into those mid-20s and realized that and I started strategizing it, that's when I started buying really hard and aggressively and with each next deal in mind as I was moving towards things.
Love that. And would you say that plan has changed from your mid-20s to where it is now?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So that's but in, why just always, in terms of your process, yeah. I want people to really tap into how you as a high performer really go about it.
Yeah. Well, that's why that constant reflection always comes into it. And what happens, man, it's one of my favorite sayings in life, right? Favorite sayings is that in life, you should continually be leveling up. So if you're staying on the same plateau, like it's very hard to keep achieving really, really good results. Become an expert and become a master at something, you know, something you can really master, right? And get better and better and better at it. But then at times you might level up from that and then go to a next level completely. But even in terms of like something in particular, let's just talk about even bread and butters, right? Like, and learning a market really, really intimately. Like you become a master at it and keep leveling up with your ability and everything in that as well. It's the same thing with the goal settings, man. You should be constantly leveling up. And in life, that's what you find is you will level up. Like my initial goal when I started setting goals was to replace my income because I hated my job. And that was around, it wasn't to fully replace it. It was to replace it enough that I could walk away and kind of do anything I wanted. So I hit the 60K in terms of passive, was able to walk away, left and traveled for a while. And then when I came back, man, what do you think my goal setting wasn't just I already achieved my goal, right? So then I changed it. And then that's when I started thinking big, like, well, what can I actually do with this thing? If I could achieve that in such a short amount of time, what can I really achieve in the long term if I really commit to this thing? So I think that was the change. And that's when I went to a completely different level.
Now, you've obviously, when people look at your portfolio, they see that you've 40 properties in 13 years. So for someone sitting on the sidelines listening and thinking about that, they're thinking, gee, does this guy even bloody sleep? I mean, how hard is it to accumulate that quickly? So what balance do you put? Because this time of year is about having a break, you know, celebration, reflection, all that. Like, how important for you as a high performer is the rest and break and recharge? Or are you... like over the break, are you still banging out deals? Are you still hustling? Like, no, what was the balance for people?
Yeah. It's a great point. It's something I really struggled with. So like in my first few years of the business, mate, I took no break. And then I was just constantly burnt out. Like I was working my ass off and I was still doing a great job. But man, I was knackered. Like first 2 years of business, I was absolutely cooked. And then I started to realize and started to learn that I was a better person in terms of like headspace and not being so angry. So I was like always in a better headspace. I could perform higher. I was, you know, nice to people. The big thing is like you perform better and you're happier. And so like when you build rests in. So there's absolutely nothing wrong with taking, you know, a couple of weeks or a week here and a week there, and actually properly recharging the batteries. And I think that's a great thing, man. But it's funny because you ask, like, you know, you still got 100% or whatever. Man, it's a funny thing because, like, that week before Christmas in the lead up to Chrissy, like, we're a couple of days past it now. I don't even know what the date is, a couple of days past Chrissy. But, man, like, we were working on the Saturday. Christmas Eve was, like, Christmas was a Sunday. We were working on the Saturday. Like, we were going 100% all the way up to Christmas Eve because everyone else shut off. Everyone else was already on holidays and switching off and all the rest of it. And here are our clients, like, you know, hoping we get something through. Man, we did a really nice number of deals in that week or two before Christmas because everyone else had switched off. So it's like, man, we could have worked that last week and just cruised, right? And just chilled and cruised and whatever, get a couple of deals together. But man, when we're on, we're on. You know what I mean? And I think that's how you should be living your life. It's like when you're on 100%, you give everything. But the same thing when you're in rest mode, man. Like, this is the only thing where I'm doing for work in my break is having a potty with you, man. Outside of that, I'm not going to be working, man. And the rest is crucial because if you don't, you burn out and you will lose sight of your goal. You become disheartened towards your goal. So yeah, man, I think it's a very, very important part of the process.
How do you switch off? I find it really challenging sometimes. You can't help it. You're on your phone or someone sends you a message or an email and you get sucked straight back in.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you, because I know that you obviously get a lot of clients, you get a lot of people hitting you up. How do you achieve that?
Mate, it depends. It depends on the time of year. You know what I mean? It's like over the Christmas break, dude, I just, unless it's an emergency, it's the only time of year I'll just ignore things and just be like, because I've only got the one phone, man. I don't have two phones. I don't like having two phones. I like to have one phone. If someone has an issue, they can call me. I can take care of it, sort of thing. Christmas time, I switch off. But then, like, when I'm overseas and everything, like, if I'll have a week off here or there or whatever during the year, it is very hard. But you try and do the same thing, man. You try and go down that same avenue of, like, if it's an emergency, take care of it. If it's not, like, respect yourself enough that you need that rest and you just do what you need to do to properly rest.
Do you find that it's still in the back of your mind though? You can't, you're always going to be on in some capacity.
Mate,
I mean, there's always going to be I love it. The law of exchange. I mean, you have to give up something to get something, or there's the reaping and sowing. So you're not going to build the business that you have without having that finger on the pulse, right?
Yes. Yeah. 100%.
Now, but in saying that, have you found, and I'm trying to really get people to think about this in their own mind, because there's going to be a certain point where you're out of balance, right? You said the first 2 years of business was pretty tough, right?
Yeah.
And you were, the bull shark
was splashing about in the shallows of a creek with no water. I was struggling.
So if you had your time again, though, would you have done exactly the same thing in terms of that intensity? Or would you have had the hindsight and gone, you know what? If I would probably take it a bit more chilled, because you got the results, right? You worked your ass off to get the results.
Man, I think it's a funny thing. I always look back at, like, things like that. It's a lesson. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't have the understanding of it now. Like, that's how I'm built. Like, I'm always on, you know, it's very hard to properly switch off. And in the very early years, man, like, I still am now, but in the very early years, it was just me. And then the second year, Morgs was in the business with me. It was just us two. So, like, I mean, you constantly switched on and like, you know, obsessed with it, man. So when you're obsessed with it, it's very hard to switch off from it. And man, I used to do discovery calls in between Christmas and New Year's. Like, it was just crazy, you know, like, just zero break. But that's how I was, man. I was obsessed with it then. And I'm still obsessed with it now, but there's so much going on. I know that I need to rest my mind to perform at my best. For our clients and for myself as well, to perform my best, I need to have those rests and recharges to perform optimally. But man, there's nothing wrong with like, that's the thing. You make mistakes on different things, you know, you make mistakes on these things, you learn the lesson, you know, you don't stuff it up again. You do the right thing the next time around.
People would be listening here thinking, I think the question people are saying, what does this dude do on his break? Like, honestly, what the hell does this guy do on his break?
It depends what it is, man. Like, if I'm going overseas,
apart from overseas, I'm talking now, okay, like Christmas, okay. You're not going anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what's a typical break for you in the Christmas break?
That
apart from eating the baklava, Sam is obsessed with the baklava out there.
Did you see what I photo there? Yeah. Well, I have one of the young fellas, young Terry from Adelaide. He was up on the Goldie with his missus and he bought me a tray of baklava after our podcast. It was unreal.
Oh, for those that don't know what that is, it's an Lebanese dessert. It's a sweet.
He bought me the Greek ones. He bought me the Greek.
That very syrupy. But the Greek's very syrupy.
That's so good. That's so sweet.
Have you already demolished them?
Yeah, bro, they're gone. I didn't eat all of them on the first night, but I smacked a fair few.
No wonder you didn't want to meet in person.
Mate.
He's got nothing.
What do you mean? Did you take my shirt off in front of the scouting shape bloody audience? What do you want me to do?
Mate, we're trying to get listeners, not lose them.
Oh, I better drop you then. We'll cover your face up with an APS symbol and move on.
No, but in all seriousness, right? So a typical chill out day, because it's important. People, you know, it is important.
It is.
To really decompress. What is it? Hitting the beach.
It's different things, man. So there's always different things. Yeah, the beach is a big one for me. I love the beach, chilling out, go for a swim, go for a surf, whatever. Man, I love taking my dog. I've got a big German Shepherd, mate. I take her out in the bush and I'll go run for a couple of hours out in the bush. I love it. And I just get back absolutely knackered. You're filthy. It's mad. The other big one for me is I'm into my motorbikes, man. I love my bikes as well. The best thing about bikes, same as when you go running. When you go running, you're kind of just purely in that zone, especially if you're out in a bush and you're knackered. Same as you're into surf, man, because you've got to kind of be a little alert of what's going on as well. But with the motorbikes especially, man, like you switch off, like see you later, like you're gone sort of thing. So I've always loved going for a ride as well because you're just in the moment and, and you can really switch off from that as well. So it's always been a big thing with me, mate. Go for a ride, whether it's dirt or road. It's always good.
Nice.
What about you? What do you do?
Mate, I love being the beach. I love the, you know, as you
Are
know.
Are there beaches in Melbourne?
Ooh, for all the Melbourne listeners out there, geez, right in. Right
Sorry,
in.
Melbourne. Get it's on. I just don't have a drive. It's not as, you know, a reflection of you guys.
We do have a few puddles down here in Melbourne. We call them the bay, you know.
The bay?
Massive surf in the bay. Massive.
Really?
No. But I like to chill out, dude. I like to chill out the sun. You know, you have the pools, just relax. I like to a bit of reading, you know, just chill. Yeah, I'm not gunning motorbikes, as you know. I like getting on the bike and the sunshine. There's a few wineries down here too, which is awesome. So yeah, man. That's all cool. Just chill out, eat, drink, be happy. Now, how much time do we actually have on this podcast?
Because I don't know. We're on Zoom, bro. I don't have the counter anymore. We normally have the counter. I have no idea how long we've been going for.
I think we've been going about 30 minutes. Okay. I think we're going about 30. But what I want to actually, I want to leave some nuggets for people, if you don't mind, Sammy boy, is because we're looking at obviously we've spoken about goals. How to succeed in property in 2023 is what I want. And you touched on some of these points before, but let's get people juiced up. Let's get them. Get them excited about what are the key things that you're going to need to do well in property in 2023. I'm going to pose two scenarios. First one, let's start with the first timers. Mm-hmm. No, not a lot of cash. What's the deal? Let's revisit that. Give them some real action points. How are they going to succeed for those listeners out there?
Providing serviceability is fine. Man, it never changes when you're starting out. If you don't have much money, providing serviceability, even if serviceability is not the best, like to be able to keep moving forward and be able to build it, you need to make marginal way into a deal, right? So you need to pick the right markets, and you need to buy at the right money. It's always the same, man. It doesn't matter where you are at what point. If you're starting out, they're the biggest things you always need to do. 2023 is going to be a very interesting year in terms of the market as well. From the 2020, 2021, and then the first half of 2022, there was insane growth. The back end of 2022, there was a lot of comeback in terms of a lot of markets did a price fall, especially your two big markets of Sydney and Melbourne. And that affected majority of the country in terms of a pullback as the overall year of growth. I think a lot of those markets are going to be bottoming out this year. A few of the markets have still got some way to come down, but there are other markets out there, man, that are going to keep pumping. for a lot of various different factors. A lot of actual extra attention will come to these areas as well, because people aren't going to be in your big markets that are coming back. They're going to be going into these other areas. So there's some really, really good markets out there at the moment that you're going to be able to make some good dollars in. Mate, there's a lot of markets that I'm putting money on personally that are going to do 20% growth this year coming in 2023. And there's a lot of people saying, oh, growth rates are going to come back a lot. Mate, that's normal, right? So like, everyone was viewing all these last few years as like Australia as a whole market, which it isn't. It's just going back to being an intelligent investor of pre-COVID days, where you got to pick your markets. You pick your markets correctly, you can still have exceptional runs and exceptional growth cycles moving forward. I don't think this year and moving forward is going to be any different. The one cool thing is you should have a little bit less competition out there, allowing you to negotiate a little bit harder. But man, I said, yeah, it's a very interesting time in the market, because it's like, it's going to be picking the right markets for an individual investor, you know, because there's going to be some great opportunities in some of those markets bottoming out as well, that still have a lot in the pipeline in front of them. So yeah, man, time what to be about, careful, but a time to be bullish as well if you're ready for it.
What would you say to people that are really concerned with yield? So obviously interest rates are potentially increasing even further.
Yes.
And they're worried.
Mate, it's an interesting one, hey. Again, it's going back to the olden times of, and mate, it's funny thing, because like I made so many jokes about negative gearing and like, you know, hitting the buzzer and all the rest of it, get rid of it. But man, realistically, like even a lot of your really good growth markets that are still producing like 6% plus yield, so actually really strong yields still in the current market, a lot of those now are turning slightly negative because of where interest rates are and where they're probably going to end up. Man, I think people need to start looking at it as well. And is this on me because of the jokes we're making and the rest of it. But realistically, man, if a deal is going to cost you $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 a year in negative for maybe a year or two before rates come back down, and I also believe rents are strongly on the rise, you can't purely look at an asset from just what it's going to make you in today's dollars as well. If that property is going to perform for you on a lot of different levels, let's say you make $30,000 on the way in. And let's say that market is a $400,000 market, and it does another 10% growth in that year, just 10%, right? You make 30 on the way in, you make another 40% in growth in the first 12 months, but you lose $3,000 a year cash flow. But you still have $67,000, you know what I mean? Like it's huge. And then the following year, you know, you're still gonna have your growth. And a lot of these areas are actually going through rental growth cycles at the moment as well. So it's one of those things to be careful of. I know I'm kind of, you know, eating my own suwara, whatever the hell the bloody saying is. But you know, eating my own words in terms of what I was saying, if you know, probably a month or whatever it was ago. But realistically, the rates have gotten to a point where good solid bread and butters, they are turning that slight bit negative. And I just look at it from more of a holistic, like overview picture of the fact that rents are going through very strong rises. They're not going to stay this high forever. They will come back down. I know a lot of pundits as well, where kind of a lot of people are tipping, we've probably got one at most, maybe two more rate rises very early next year. As that inflation starts to get reined in as well, you know, there's a very, very strong chance that potentially even by the end of next year or the start of 2024, we're going to start seeing some rates kind of clipped back down as well to help reignite the economy once they've got that inflation in. So I do think we're going to be coming back a little bit, even if we go a tad further. I do think we're going to be coming back below where we are right now. But I would really think about keeping your eyes on the prize, right? So if you've got the capacity and the capability to build out your dual portfolios, you know, your dual asset systems, which you and I are going to go into further down the track, but building out your cash flow deals as well as your growth properties, you've got to remember your growth is your exit strategy. So you can't not buy growth properties because it might cost you $1,000, $2,000 a year, right? You've got to look at the bigger picture of what they're in the portfolio for. If you've got the capacity to also go out and buy some good, strong cash flow deals and build, you know, potentially layer some strategies, do some manufactured cash flow deals, you know, you could have one cash flow deal or two cash flow deals in there, let's say producing $10,000 per annum net passive each. We're still producing those numbers even at current interest rates. You could have two of those in there. You could still load up three, four, five bread and butters that were $2,000, $3,000, even $5,000 a year negative. You're going to come out with a balanced portfolio. And I think that's the way people really need to look at it now. Balance out your portfolio. I've always been a big advocate of it. Balance out your portfolio, but it's one of those lessons that are, you know, the learnings that are tips, you know, that we did in last week's one. Don't cut off your nose to spite your face. It's one of those things. Don't cut yourself too early and miss out on a great deal because something's a tiny bit in the red.
So would you say more than ever now that dual asset accumulation is even more critically important to understand, because there's a lot of buyers out there that are purely, and buyers agents out there that are purely looking at growth.
Yeah.
Right. And obviously previously, as we know, even negatively geared when interest rates were lower, but obviously interest rates have gone up. So if they do slightly tip negative, so those manufactured cash flow deals are still, just to, for everyone listening out there, they're still out there. Still, you can still achieve that dual asset accumulation.
100%. 100%. Mate, like I was, you know, I guess just saying to Zen as well, man, if anything, I think they're crucially important. You know, they've always been important, but they're very, very important to insulate your portfolio now, you know, and man, they always should have been built into the portfolio as we go anyway.
So, you know, I was just saying for people out there that are not familiar with the manufactured cash flow strategy, essentially, if you could just summarize it for us in terms of, you know.
So it could be anything, right? But in terms of like, you know, a very simple way, it could even be something like buying a house where you can, there's a lot of different strategies with it, right? Easiest way is probably like a duplex. Buy an existing duplex, we might fully renovate it or give it a facelift, you know, achieve an 8-9% yield on something like a nice duplex in a good growth location. Biggest thing I'll throw in here is we are always still in a growth location. It's not like we're going out into a mining town with a 10% yield. We're not doing that. We're sticking into areas we believe are very strong for growth, layering different strategies on top to achieve a higher than average yield. You might do something like that. The duplex with potentially the reno potential and whatnot as well. Or you might go out and you might buy an older house on a big block, give it a bit of a facelift, build a secondary dwelling out the back, get those dual incomes on a single title, and achieve a higher than average net yield. And a lot of the time, actually, every time that we're doing these deals, those net yields are exceeding what the interest rates are. So you're coming in front in terms of positive cash flow. And so a lot of those deals that we're still doing now, even the smaller ones, the cheaper ones, they're still sitting at $7,000-$8,000 per annum net passive. A lot of the bigger ones are well over $10,000 per annum net passive as well. The big thing to note as well, Jimmy, it's not just to be the lifeblood and the oxygen of the portfolio. That is huge in terms of what they're doing. You need them at the back end anyway. They're your, when you exit and you sell your growth assets, you're using those profits. You're paying down the cash flow deals. You need them anyway. So if the right time comes to build a few of those in, you know, especially this year, some great opportunities in some markets for these deals, you know, build those cash flows in, insulate your portfolio. There's a lot of people out there that might be carrying, you know, properties that were neutral or slightly negative before the interest rate rises, and now they're sitting 20, 30 grand or more in the red. If that's the case and you really don't want to sell, you build a few of these deals in and it can insulate the portfolio against that negative cash flow and actually continue positive.
Yeah, I love that. And so there's some absolute gems there for everyone listening when you're throwing them out there. I love to think of those high manufactured cash flow deals as the jewels in your crown, right? Because they're the ones that you're going to keep at the end, right?
They are.
And as everyone's listening out there, I mean, cash flow is, you can't retire, most Australians retire asset rich, cash flow poor. So you can't eat your garage, you can't eat your house, and you don't want to sell your house, but where are you going to get your cash flow from? So I think you hit it right on the head there.
There is a reason why people say cash is king, right? Cash is king or cash flow is king. It's exactly what you said there. You can't eat your equity. And I know there's a lot of people, there's a couple of big names in the industry a few years ago that talked about refinancing equity out and living off the equity. And it's just, it's madness because like you're never debt reducing your position and you're like, you're pulling money out that's like, really, it's not yours until you sell and consolidate and actually bank that profit. That's not yours. So you're pulling, you know, the bank is lending you that money to live on. It's a terrible strategy. If instead you're holding these assets and let's say you hold a couple of those and you sell those and you pay out the others and they're providing that residual passive income, no one can ever take that from you. Like once you're at a low debt level, no one can ever take that from you. And I think that's the big thing, you know, once you love own that. Those, that's residual income for life. The pure growth strategy and just building those out, especially the equity release, live on the equity. It's honestly madness, man. That's the only way to put it.
So for people that are listening out there now, and obviously we're this whole conversation today is about how to set yourself up for 2023. Cash flow and understanding that dual asset accumulation is critically important. So would you say more than ever this coming year for those listeners out there, if you have already got a couple of properties and you don't understand the need to have the two types of properties and how they're going to work in together, this is the critical time to really get that, especially as interest rates is the way they are.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's for all of those people. For those listeners out there that are just starting out though, for looking at this year, and they're thinking, man, I want to have those juicy cash flow deals. I want them now. I want the manufactured cash flow.
Yeah.
What would you say to them? Because I know it's important for them to build those blocks first. Don't get ahead of yourself.
Yeah. That's the biggest thing I'd say. Like, if you're someone that is on a low income and negative cash flow does really scare you, we can still find properties. And you can still find properties out there that still turn a positive cash flow, even if it's small, as bread and butters. I would always recommend starting down the bread and butter route. A lot of people, you know, used to come to me and want to go straight into cash flow deals, and we do them for them. But it's like, man, it's almost like, again, you remember how I said it like 10, 15 minutes ago, leveling up. Man, you don't start at level 10. You start at level one, cut your teeth on a deal, learn the process, build the foundations for one. It is the right property for you to build the foundations in, because you make equity on the way in, you have some growth. You can pull it, you roll into another one. You start learning the process of how to invest. You go straight in, you go straight to level 10 and something happens. I've seen this all too often. You know the story of my brother and going down this route. First deal ever I did for him, he made about $500,000-$600,000. He had a cry over like an $8,000 difference at the very start. Literally level, not even one investor, level 0.1 investor doing a level 10 deal, even though I handheld it for him, one thing popped up. Couldn't handle it. And like, that's why cut your teeth on the baby step things first. But these bread and butter deals, they are great for starting the portfolio and kicking the portfolio off. I've had a lot of clients that starting out 18, 24 months in, they start and 18 to 24 months in, they're 4 or 5 properties deep. And then they're rolling into their cash flow deals. And they were able to do it because they bought the right growth properties at the right money, made the money. And then they're obviously the market kept ticking up, having growth, they were pulling it. And then they start building in the cash flow deals later. Don't get ahead of yourselves with those. A lot of people get their eyes on the prize of the cash flow, and that will, you will stall yourself, or you will go, you jump too far ahead and you feel like you get burnt. It's not something you want to jump into as your first deal or even your first couple of deals. If you can help it, serviceability allows, don't go down that avenue. Do your bread and butters first. It's almost like, it's kind of like your master's, right? Or your bachelor's or whatever. Like you cut your teeth on the beginner stuff before you level up.
Well, I think one time you mentioned this to me at the start about those kind of properties. You mentioned foundation, right? If you think of a building and the foundational piers of a building, the bread and butter deals really do act like that foundation, and they enable you to scale out and build out. And if you don't have equity at the start, there's no use having all this cash flow if you're not going to have the equity to go again straight away.
Yep.
So the bread and butter deals, for those listening, make sure you get your foundations first, and then cash flow we're going to add in down the track.
It is an awesome point, Jimmy, mate. It is a great point, because once you build out your foundations, and this is how I used to explain it to people, right? Let's say you start with 2-3 bread and butters. Let's say you can afford the serviceability to start with 3 bread and butters, and then you roll into some cash flow deals after that, right? You start hitting a bit of a serviceability ball. Now we need to go towards cash flow. If you can build out 3 bread and butters, and let's just say 2-3, whatever, you get to $1 million worth of property. All right, you make some nice margins on the way, and you're in some nice growth markets. You've got $1 million there of property, and that market just goes up 10% in 12 months. You get the market right, you go up 10% in 12 months, you just made 100,000. If you're on a 50, 60,000 income, or even if you're on a 100 grand income, you just made 100 grand that you can strip out and you can roll into another deal. If you have a great run and you buy into a couple of great spots and you do time it really well and everything as well, and you catch a really good cycle, and you got 20%. You're making 200 grand literally off $1 million worth of property. You know, and I know people say, oh, the growth runs aren't going to happen the same way they happened before. Matt, I tell you right now, most markets stagnate for 10 to 15 years and then they double in 3. You don't double in 3 years by doing 10, 20% a year. Like, they're big runs. And that's why if you time those markets and you hit those big runs and you've built the foundations early, they're the sort of results you can expect. And they're the sort of results you can build off.
I love that. Sammy Gordon. Now, I just want to, on that topic that you just mentioned there, mindset, how important would you say for people out there, high interest rate environment, the mindset you need for this year? Because things go wrong. Shit goes wrong. This is like, people want this clean, you know, no issues. I don't want any hassles. I don't want the property manager to call me. I don't want to have any, like, what kind of mindset would you say for people out there, high interest rate environment?
Yeah.
There's going to be a bit of blood on the streets in certain pockets. You're going to see the news. What would you say? What kind of advice would you say for people? Strap in, folks.
Look, it's a funny thing, right? Like, it's it's one of those times where, yes, different people will, because you kind of asked two questions there in terms of like things going on differently in the market, seeing a bit of blood in the streets. That's kind of opportunity for different people. But if you already own property and you have a couple of things pop up, it never changes. Okay. So like whether interest rates are sitting at 2% or 3% or they're sitting at 5 or 6% or whatever, and you're running a tiny bit negative as opposed to a couple of grand positive, and that stresses you out a little, right? And some things pop up. It happens regardless across the board. Okay. Like, I remember when it first started happening to me when I was younger and had my first couple of properties, and you have your first couple of rentals, and they're calling you, they got this, they got that, they got all these different things. Easiest way you can do it, and I think we chatted about this a couple of weeks ago on one of these potties, was you put a stone wall on it. You know, you tell the managing agent, unless it's something that needs to be fixed, don't bother me with it. If it doesn't need to be fixed, I don't want to know about it. You know what I mean? Like if it's something that they've fixed, if that they've broken, don't even bring it to me. Get them to, in terms of the tenants, get them to fix it. And this isn't being like,
against the tenants, you know,
yeah, against the tenants or offensive to the tenants or anything. But you've got to be realistic, and you've got to. I have become, I think, a little more blunt in this. I was probably a little softer at the start. I would have been, because again, you level up in everything as you do this stuff. And when you get to the level of properties in the portfolio I've got, you kind of get more blunt in terms of what you turn down and what you don't even consider. And so I think like trying to have a mindset like that early can be really good for you. If there's something that's broken down as legitimate, it is part of the investing game. Things go down, things go wrong, things break. You literally own bricks and mortar. You own a house. Something is going to break at some point. I guarantee you that. You just got to deal with it, man. You got to deal with it. You face it. You fix it. You move on. So I think that's the biggest thing, man. Like you got to be intelligent with it and realistic with it, mate. If you're buying something that has no issues, you're probably buying brand new. And you're still probably going to have issues with it, but you're buying something brand new, it's got a warranty. You're probably also paying a premium for that product. So it's not ideal, right?
Yeah.
Unless you're developing it yourself and you're carrying it like that, that's one thing. But again, next level of investor. Mm. But yeah, man, I think you've got to be strong in that.
And expect it too. Because these, as you said, I think you hit on the head. Things aren't going to go wrong. But the way I like to think of it, right? Mm-hmm. I'd rather deal with one issue, even if it's once a week, right? Because think about it with your job, you're doing it, most people, 8 hours a day. You're dealing with crap for 8 hours. You're dealing with hassles all week. So if you're dealing with one thing a week.
Yeah, it's true. That's very true, man.
Think about it. And that one decision is what's going to give you so much joy for the and value and income or growth for your whole life. So keep that's context actually, of the bigger picture, right?
That's a really good point. It's a really good point. Like, so yeah, example we made before, if you're making 100 grand a year out of property, and you're making, even if it's 100 grand a year out of job, even if it's 200 grand a year out of your job, you've done the thing with the property, it's just ticking up and going up in value. But you're in your job and you're working 50, 60 hours a week to make your 200 grand a year. I know what I'd rather be making 100 grand doing.
It always reminds me how lucky you are. Cause I mean, I think it's great. You're having problems with your properties, but that's something that you own. They're never going to be sick. They're never going to have COVID. They're not going to turn up late to work. You don't have to worry about anything. A tap or something. So keep context for those people that are out there. And for a lot of our listeners who are avid investors, they would obviously know that. But for people who are starting out and don't want the hassles, expect them. Be comfortable with them. Lean into them and realize this is for the benefit, right?
Yeah. Prepare yourself for them because they're going to come. It's part and parcel of the journey and of investing in property.
So, man, this coming year, I love it. It's going to be a big year for you. You personally, as we wrap up and give things a bit of a wrap, big year, business.
Big year, mate. It's always a big year. I'm always setting. I'm always changing tack. What I'm going for.
Love it.
So yeah, man. I got a lot coming. I'm looking forward to it, man. The business is good. We're kind of just optimizing, man. We're at a really good level. Obviously, yeah. Won some different awards this year. And looking forward to winning some awards this year coming as well. Like, you know, doing some great business for our clients as well. So yeah, man. Looking forward. It should be a good year.
Awesome.
What about you? What are your goals, man? Because you're almost at double digits.
Oh, I thought we were gonna wrap it up. Yeah, it's been interesting. I was talking to our producer before the potty, and he was like, "What are your goals?" And I actually hadn't really nailed down a lot of what my goals were. And I think for our listeners out there, being completely vulnerable, there have been a few years where I've just sort of floated into them. And really, I think you get comfortable at a certain point. And sometimes, yeah, I hear all the stuff, you know, you're leveling up, you know that you should be doing these things, but sometimes you just, whether it's just, I'll get to it or, you know, in the back of your mind, you know what you should be doing, but in the busyness of just doing crap, you don't allocate the time to really narrow in about what is going to move the needle. And I've been guilty of that. hand on heart, that I've been guilty of it. And I think now I've listening to you and just having a bit of a think about it, of resetting that for this coming year and being a bit more clear in terms of what I want to do with my property. How many properties do I want?
Yeah.
What are they going to be like? And even other aspects of my life, just getting a bit more clear and clarity and getting a bit more, you know, writing it down, being super clear. So I think what my point for a lot of people out there is, if you're listening to this and thinking, you know what, shit, I've never done any of that and I haven't done it, it's normal.
Yeah, yeah.
It is normal to not have done it. But one of my mentors always said, if you're aware of it, you're 80% there. Mm. Whereas if you're lack of awareness and you're not even being honest with yourself. So for me, I'm being honest. Man, I haven't said them yet. I've got them in the back of my mind, but I haven't narrowed in. So that's something that I need to do some homework and to get super clear from my end, really.
Flesh it out in your bite-sized chunks, mate.
That's it. So that's what I'll be doing over the next, you know, couple of weeks, few weeks, getting super clear. But yeah, man, definitely hitting the 10. That'll be, I want to get 4 properties. That's the one thing I do know.
There you go, dude. What are you scared around the bush for? You know it right there.
But it's important for people out there. It's not about the number. It's not about just trying to build out and say you've got 10 properties or 15 or 50 or whatever it is.
Goal for you at the time, if that's what you want to achieve next year. Yeah. It's nothing wrong with having number goals. You know what I mean? Like if they're moving you towards your bigger picture, if that's your bite-sized number of what you want to do next year, man, there's no issues with that. You know, I'm building it like that. So
yeah. So for me personally, that's my property goal.
There you go.
Is to get 4 bread and butter deals, 2 manufactured cash flow deals.
Even balance.
Just even balance. I'm just looking for a really good buyer's agent. I don't know. Do you know anyone that you can?
Yeah, I do, man, but he doesn't work with
Oh, careful.
Doesn't work with blokes that look like you. You fossil.
Well, what a way to finish off. What a way. The fossil.
Jimmy, thank you, mate. I appreciate you jumping on and jumping on doing the Zoom session with us, mate. It was another good session. I hope the people enjoyed it. And to all our listeners of the Scouting Australia podcast, really appreciate you jumping on. As always, I hope you're enjoying the content. Keep the reviews, the 5-star reviews and the comments and everything coming in. Keep your questions coming in as well, guys. We're getting a massive bank of really, really high quality questions for our Q&As. Next couple of eps in, we're definitely going to run through and try and smash out as many of them as we can, because they are definitely starting to bank up. So keep sending them in. Keep giving us your reviews, guys. We really appreciate it. It makes us know we're doing a good job. And I hope you all had a great Chrissy New Year's. And I'm really looking forward to continuing this journey with you guys next year. Any final words, Jimmy?
Mate, happy new year to everyone. And just to you, Sammy boy, well done for all the value you bring into all the customers, all the clients, everyone out there. You're changing people's lives. And I think you need to be acknowledged, you know, as much as I love giving you crap and your head is taking up my whole screen. However, hats off where it's due. I know we talk about property a lot, but we also talk about a lot of other things, and everyone's trying to find the balance. Everyone's trying to, you know, be happy and find a bit of purpose and find a bit of fulfillment. So, mate, congrats to you for what you've done this year. It's been awesome. When you look at the business, you look at the team, you look at your own portfolio. But yeah, man, I'm looking forward to witnessing what's going to happen next year. So, mate, enjoy it. You got a big year. I know you got a big year, but enjoy the process of it as well. So then this time next year, when we look back, we'll be like, man, do you remember that conversation we had?
Yeah, 100%, bro. No, it's been a huge year. This year was huge. And yeah, I'm looking forward to hooking into 2023, man, and owning it, man. It should be awesome. And looking forward to helping a lot of clients, you know, in that space as well. And obviously all the Scouting Australia listeners, I hope you're all leveling up with your own journeys as well and your knowledge and implementing and taking action.
Absolutely. And if you are looking to level up, Sammy, what should they be doing?
They should definitely be heading over to the Australian Property. I keep getting mixed up between Australian Property Scout and Scouting Australia. Getting over to the Australian Property Scout website, book a call in. If you need any help with goal setting, if you want a bit of a portfolio review, set out some really good goals, some bite-sized chunks of what you can achieve next year to work with an award-winning buyer's agency, then we would love to help you guys out. Just head over to www.australianpropertyscout.com.au. As always, you can find us on all the socials at Australian Property Scout. And remember, guys, on all your favorite platforms, please leave us a 5-star review and testimonial. And otherwise, guys, thank you very much once again, and we'll see you next time.